Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Sabbath to everybody. This is a day that Yah has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Elohim we serve, he is worthy of all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. We have our brother Isaiah bringing the precept this morning. And the title change from what does Elohim feel about family to blood family. So I didn't make that change everywhere. But, brother, that's what the precept will be this morning, and so we just want to make note of it. Blood family. I'd like to say that we greet everyone, whether you are on Pal Talk, whether you're on Blog Talk, whether you're on the internet in general, wherever you may be listening, we want to say Shabbat Shalom and Sabbath peace to each and every one of you. I am going to do our statement of faith and the scripture for this morning reading, and then I'm going to turn it over to my brother to come as Yahweh has led him. All right, that being said, let us have the ladies to cover their heads, the men to uncover their head. Let us all turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem, as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise this morning, for truly he is worthy of all our honor, all our praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Yah, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word we're about to hear, Father. We thank you for keeping us through the night, Father. We thank you for your manifest mercies. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your peace that only you can bring, Father. Hallelujah. And we just want to glorify you this morning. We just want to give you praise, glory, and honor. For truly you are worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. There is none like you, hallelujah. Elohim of Elohim, you are worthy. Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. Father, we just love you this morning. Hallelujah. You are our Elohim, and we bow down and we worship you. We bend the knee to you, Father. We lay out flat on our faces for you, Father, and we give you glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. You are our Elohim. Hallelujah. All praises and glory to the Most High Elohim. For truly he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. You know what? I'm going to let Brother Isaiah bring the scripture this morning as Yah has led him. He is bringing the precept, and he'll pray us in. So I want to say Shabbat Shalom, my brother.
Hey, Shabbat Shalom, Brother Miles. Grace and peace, big bro.
Grace and peace. Grace and peace. All right, I want
Brother Miles.
Yes, sir.
Brother Miles, I want to let you know that your speaker was going a little bit in and out when you was talking. It wasn't too bad, but it was letting you know.
I was just about to mention this because we're still having technical difficulties on Blog Talk. Yours may go in and out too. If it does, we'll let you know. I'm not sure what we can do. I have reached out to Blog Talk and asked them to address the matter, but I have not heard anything back from them yet. So just understand that this is going.
Amen.
So we'll see how it behaves for you. I pray that it goes smoothly and that there are no issues. We stayed on the other night, and I can tell that it's not actually in my phone, because it wasn't just my phone that was having the issue. So it tells me that.
Right.
Then there's. So we pray that Yah allows this to go smoothly. If we have technical difficulties this morning, everyone who's listening, don't drop off. What we will do, if Brother Isaiah starts to have problems, he may have to drop off and call back in. But we will not all drop off of the call. So that way we don't have to wait for everybody to come back on, because it's right now that's the only way I know to address this. So that being said, I'm going to turn it over to you, my brother, to pray us in and to bring the scripture and to bring the word.
All right, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, bro. Hey, grace and peace, family. Grace and peace. Thank you for tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show. To Yah's Kubel Kleenum and to my part of the show, which is called To the Spirit of Meekness and Charity. Grace and peace, brothers and sisters. My name is Brother Isaiah. I'm teaching a lesson, and I will be reading the scriptures for myself this morning. I hope everyone is having a swell and a very well Sabbath. Grace and peace unto you all. You know, we're dealing with a precept today. I just couldn't even think of the name of it. I kind of thought of the name, but I didn't really know how I wanted to bring it. So I just put some scriptures together. You know, not a lot, but just, you know, but just a little something to keep the brothers and sisters mindful of. You know, the name of the precept is called Blood Family. And the reason why this precept is called like blood family is just to understand, you know, how God look at family. We're not talking, we have to understand that, you know, it was this thing I was looking up on online, I think it was yesterday, you know, about the importance of family. But the importance of family means little to God when it comes to his family. You know, because God's family does not always recommend blood family. The way of God family is that those who's trying to seek and serve the true and living God to the best of their ability, you know, not those that are not. Not saying that these are bad people, and they might be good people. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But the same point in time is that if you want to form a gathering of a family, you want to form a gathering yourself a family for those who are trying to walk in this thing according to righteousness and according to what the books say. You know, not according to how your friends or family think about matters or how they feel about situations or how they feel how things are supposed to be going up or how things are supposed to be going down. You know, when you serving God and when you're doing things for most of God, it's supposed to make sense to you and the servants and God. The life we live and the things we do probably won't really make sense to people who don't have the understanding or even trying or are not even trying to. You know, so sometimes things might get a little discouraged in life and stuff like that. You know, things can happen. You know, who knows? But, you know, this is why we have brothers and sisters that's in the truth that see your viewpoint spiritually. Because we must serve God in that type of manner. We cannot serve God how the world see or like how family see it. Oh, what family feel, what is bond, and what's true. No. But in order to seek and serve God and do this thing to best ability is that it's very wise to seek and search out those who are trying to walk in the light as yourself. So we got a little something to go through today. You know, just to put something on your mind. You know, and when you having issues in life, or if you're bothered by something, you know, anything, you know, you might have your ups and downs and stuff like that. Not saying that family is like this terrible thing. I'm not saying that. But you need your spirits lift. You need your spirit lift. And the best way to do that is what's written in the pages of the book. The ones who are trying to seek and serve God to give you God's answer, because God is the one that can deliver. So we got to understand that blood family means little to God, because we will go through some scriptures and he's going to show us how he feels about family. You know, everybody wants their brothers and sisters, blood brothers and sisters, to be so close together. But the Lord said, I'm coming bringing a sword and tearing it all up to shreds. You know? So what we're going to do is to start out in the Lord's Prayer. And then I'm going to bring up the scripture reading. And we just get into the scriptures to get an understanding on this whole blood family thing and how God feels about it. So I'm going to ask all the sisters to please cover your head and all brothers to please cover your head. And if possible, let's face east towards Jerusalem and let's pray in. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to start us out in the scripture reading. We're going to get into the precept. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. The reading was taking place in the book of Psalms, chapter 32, verses 1 through 11. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So now it is time for us to get an understanding on what this precept name is talking about. So I'm pulling it up right now. You know, we're in 2021, so I'm starting to put my precepts on my phone. It's moving real smooth. I'm so used to writing on paper, but now I'm starting to put them on the computer way. And it's pretty nice. You know, and it makes things a lot easier, too. So the name of the precept, brothers and sisters, is called Blood Family. Blood Family. What does God think about it? You know? To answer your question, he really can care less about it. You know, and definitely when it comes to blood brothers and sisters and stuff like that, because he constantly keeps telling you that he's going to divide them all the way up. You might have five brothers. You know, you got about five brothers and sisters. You know, you go have two, you know, you might have two that's going to serve God, and you got three that won't. So the Lord go divide that up. The ones that's in the world, they stay in the world. The ones that want to seek and serve the true living God, y'all two stick together and you be about my business. And when you're about your father's business, you go out there and you teach to the world on the salvation and the kingdom that is at hand. You know, it's not easy to do these things when you have the wrong company around you. And I'm not talking about someone who likes to cause havoc, stress, and debate and stuff like that. But it could just simply be the lifestyle. You know, well, let's go do this and let's go do that. Remember when we used to do this? Hey, let's go hang out. Let's go do this. You know, we haven't did this in a while. You know, and then you be all in your feelings when you do those things, but how could you really have time for God and the mission he wants you to be on if we too focus on physical situations instead of spiritual situations? So what we're going to do is go into the book of Matthew, chapter 16. The book of Matthew, chapter 16. And what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, is pick this up in verse 24. And we're going to read verses 24 through 27. The book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 24 through 27. Matthew 16, 24 through 27, verse 24. And then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So the very first part about this walk is that you got to deny yourself. You have to deny the things that you like to entertain. You got to You got to learn the division. You got to learn how to divide. And we got to understand is that once we say we want to seek and serve the true and living God, then there's no more you. It's no more what I want to do or how I want to do it. But it's how God wants us to do it and what he decides and what he's found suitable for every person that's trying to walk in this thing in righteousness. So first thing first is that you got to deny yourself. You got to deny all of your entertainment. And a lot of entertainment comes from what? Blood members, blood family members, being all around. And like I said, I'm not putting it in the light to tell you that you can't do this. But it gets to be a very good limit on what we do. I'm not telling you just go cast them out and just say forget it. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that it has to be a limit. It has to be a way that you can deal with, you can mingle with them and talk to them for a little bit, show them love or whatever, who knows how you do it. But a bigger and greater portion of your life should be seeking and serving the true and living God. But in order to seek and serve the true and living God first, you got to deny yourself. You got to deny the things that you like. You got to deny your entertainment. And we have to seek and serve the true and living God. So let us go to the book of Matthew chapter 12. The book of Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And what we're going to do is pick this up in verse 46. And we're going to read verses 46 through 50. Matthew 12, verses 46 through 50. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Someone said it to him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who is my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister, my brother and sister and mother. So the physical was like, man, hey, they desire to see you. You know your mother and them, they want to come check you out. They want to talk to you, whatever issue, whatever they had going on. But to Jesus Christ, man, he stopped all that. He said, oh, really? He pointed his disciples. There's my brother, there go my mother and my brothers, my sisters. They're right there. You see them disciples over there? That's my family. That's my brother. That's my sister. That's my mother. Because once you're serving the God, you got to understand, man, these are the type of people you want to keep yourself around to make sure you keep your spirit upright. Because remember, the world can't see this spiritual part. So when they see things, they only see it through their emotions and the physical. But when you surround yourself around the righteous, you will see it the righteous way, and you will see it the spiritual way. Because we're interested in the spiritual way, because the spiritual way is what's going to last for everlasting. This physical stuff is only here temporarily. But when he said it, so when they came through, I mean, I tell you who my mother and my brother, my sister is, the ones that's trying to keep this book, the ones that's trying to walk right, the ones who's trying to hold on these fruits of the Spirit, the ones that know about loving their brothers and sisters, the ones that's trying to keep the commandments and honor the dietary law and so on and so forth. These are my brothers and sisters. These are the people I'm cool with. This is who I'm kicking it with. This is who I'm going to spend all my time with. I ain't got no interest in the flesh. I ain't got no interest in that. Because dealing with the flesh is only going to, you're only going to see the fleshly part in these situations. But when the brothers and sisters walking into the truth, we all can sit down and have a spiritual conversation because we know that there's more far, far greater things that are there that you can see. But the world can't see that. Why do you think Paul said, man, dare any of you to go bring a matter to the unjust and the righteous? Don't you know the righteous shall judge the world? And so now I'm even understanding this thing, man. When you're dealing with your situations, when you, like, for example, if you get issues in life, if you get situations you need to deal with and stuff like that, it's best to go find you somebody who understands the Bible. Not someone who's, I ain't talking about being overly righteous and just point a finger, but no, but someone you know that you can trust. Someone you know that they can bring things to your understanding and help you out. You want to bring yourself around people like that, because if you bring your matter to the world, they're going to give you a worldly advice. But if you give it to the righteous will give you unrighteous advice. And the righteous advice is going to prolong you longer and see better days and a better picture and better patience and better faith and better strength. So let's be mindful for that. And this is a very interesting one. So if anybody has the Apophica, we're going to have to go check some things out. Oh, hold on. Let's see. Did I read this one? No. We ain't going to the Apophica yet. I'm going too far. But what we're going to do is we're going to the book of Luke chapter 9. The book of Luke chapter 9. And what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 59. The book of Luke chapter 9. And we're going to pick it up at 59. Now, give you a second to get there. Let me get my coffee. Bring myself together. The book of Luke, chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 59 through 62. It's because it's this blood thing we're talking about, this blood brotherhood and stuff. You know, family members up under the same house and stuff like that, or cousins and aunties and stuff like that. This is the blood we're talking about according to the precept's name. But what we're going to do is go into the book of Luke, chapter 9. The book of Luke, chapter 9. And what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 59. And we're going to read verses 59 through 62. 59 through 62, verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Right? So he said, man, my old man is dead, right? Let me go bury him. Now, just imagine if a fleshly mindset seen this situation. If you didn't go to your own daddy's funeral, you will probably be one of the worst people that ever walked. You'd probably be the biggest scum on the earth. But that ain't how Jesus see it. How did Jesus Christ see this thing? Verse 60. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. Excuse me. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Oh, so the man was like, man, my old man's dead. You know, let me go ahead and, you know, show my respect, due respect, and bury him. Oh, like, okay, so. Let them do that. You can follow me and let's be about our Father's business. But in order for you to understand this conversation, you got to understand it spiritually. If you don't understand it spiritually, you see it physical, you get all in your feelings, you be all beat and broke down like, oh, man, this is just terrible. I can't do this. I can't do that. No. Once you understand what's at play, when you should understand what's at stake, you understand directly what Jesus Christ is talking about. The ones who don't have no understanding, they ain't even seeking this thing, right? Let them go bury him. You'll see your daddy again. Not in this time frame, but you'll see him later. You don't need to be worried about all that. You got your memories of him, right? So what else you need? Let's be about our Father's business. And once you understand how this conversation is going, to be honest, if you can spiritually see this, that's a whole lot of comfort, what Jesus told this man. That's a whole lot of comfort. Don't even worry about that. You got greater things to worry about. So let's read that again. And verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Right? So he said, okay, yeah, Lord, I'll follow you. Hey, it ain't no problem. I'll follow you, but let me just go ahead and just tell them, get them hugs and kisses and you know what I'm saying, maybe cry a little bit and just tell them how good they've been to me. Let me go ahead and do all that stuff first, Lord, and I'll be right back. Let's see what Jesus Christ think about that. Verse 62. And Jesus said to him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looketh back is fit for the kingdom of God. So if you do go back and do your farewells after I told you to come follow me, you ain't even worthy of the kingdom. You're not even worthy of it. You just sitting here wasting your time. You ain't worthy for the kingdom if you go do that. But if the world sings something like that, oh, man, he just left. He didn't say nothing. Oh, he a disrespectful child. We did all this for him, and he don't even appreciate nothing. He can't even say bye to me. He can't say hi to me. He can't even show me no love. He can't do nothing. You know what? The heck with him, Dean. I don't care what happened to him. The world would be in the feelings of the situation. But if you were serving Most High God, then you understand well. If you ain't heard enough from nobody about 3, 4, 5 months, you might call once in a while and be like, hey, everything good. But if once you find out that everything is good, hey, you're going to be like, oh, damn, they follow the business. I hope whatever God got going on for him, it prosper very well in peace into his house, in his home. But you got to understand that the world don't see this thing. The world is in their feelings and their emotions. But Jesus Christ telling us, man, hey, man, if you go back, you're not even worthy of it. So you make your mind up. What you go do? So now let us go into, if you have the Apocrypha, we're going to grab one passage out of the Apocrypha. And what we're going to do is go into the book of 2 Ezra, chapter 8. The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 45 through 62. It's because this is Ezra's praying for his friends, his family, the congregation of Israel, and people. But we're going to find out what this angel and what God think about this situation. So we're in the book of 2 Ezra, chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 45 through 62. Verse 45. Be not wroth with us, but spare thy people, and have mercy upon thy own inheritance, for thou art merciful unto thy creature. Then answered he me, and said, things present for the present, and things for the cometh for such as be to come. For thou comest far short that thou shouldest be able to love my creature more than I. But I have oftentimes drawn nigh unto thee and unto it, but never to the unrighteous. So, man, once Ezra's made this prayer for these people, and when I'm looking at this prayer, man, you could be his close ones. It could be his friends, his families, his aunties, his uncles, his sisters, his brothers. You know, grandmama, granddaddy. You know what I'm saying? All of these things put into play. You know, have mercy on all these people. But the angel came back and told him, said, man, you come too short of that prayer. I'm always for the righteous, not for the unrighteous. That angel turned around and told Ezra, man, you come too short of that prayer to be worried about what these people is doing, and I set up a perfect picture for you for the kingdom. But let's keep on going. Verse 48, and this also thou art marvelous before the Most High. Right? So the angel told him, said, man, the things that you're doing and how the way you're trying to walk, man, is marvelous in front of the eyesight of God. Verse 49, and that thou hast humbled thyself as it becometh thee, and hast not judged thyself worthy to be much glorified among the righteous. Right, so he ain't all puffed up on the things that he know or the things he's doing, but he's keeping a real meek and humble spirit. Verse 50, for many great miseries shall be done to them that in the latter time shall dwell in the world, because they have walked in great pride. Well, excuse me, let me read that again. Verse 50, for many great miseries shall be done to them that in the latter time shall dwell in the world, because they have walked in great pride. So many miseries is going to happen to the world because they walk in great pride. So why are you sitting here praying for these people and all up on these people instead of you out there trying to find people that's just like you to be about your father's business? Why are you so concerned about these type of people? And when you look at how this thing is talking, we got to understand, if the Lord is attracted to us, if the Lord see a bigger picture for us, then it's best for us to be wise to find such that are like ourselves. Or if you don't have none around you, then, hey, we got phone calls and cell phones and technology to get in contact with one of them. But never set yourself to be a part of this world because it can destroy your righteousness. It can destroy who you are as a person because of so many of them around. Now, this ain't talking about you going out there trying to teach somebody something. This is just when you down, you know, you lonely, you know, you get that feeling of you being lonely and stuff like that. You know, these type of things play a part. Verse 51, but understand thou for thyself and seek out the glory for such as be like thee. That's just what I was talking about. It said, man, you understand this by yourself. And you should be out there seeking those that's trying to get the same exact reward as yourself. Why? 52. For unto you is paradise open. The tree of life is planted. The time to come is prepared. Plenteousness is made ready. A city is built. And rest is allowed. Yea, perfect goodness and wisdom. So this is what you got coming. Because you humbled yourself and you didn't walk in pride. This is what you got coming. Not for the world. We're going to find out why in a second. Verse 53. The root of evil is sealed up from you. Wickedness and the moth is hid from you. And corruption is fled into hell to be forgotten. Right? So you ain't got to worry about this wickedness because you overcame this stuff. So the bigger part of this wickedness you have demolished and destroyed. Through faith for the Most High God. You already got this stuff down packed. You ain't got to worry about this. You need to know that you have righteousness and truth coming your way. Because you have fought off this flesh. You did all you can to be the best person you could be. Verse 54. Sorrows are past, and in the end is showed the treasure of immortality. And therefore, oh yeah, I'm gonna break that down. Sorrows are past, and in the end it showed the treasure of immortality. So this is what you got coming, Ezra. Not for the world. But this is what you got coming. And the ones that be like you. Y'all got this coming. So be more focused on that. Be more focused on that. And also another thing. Verse 55. And therefore ask thou no more questions concerning the multitude of them that perish. When you do this prayer about these people, your loved ones, the ones you're so concerned about, don't pray to me with them no more. Because they have their chance. You go take what you have and you go show that to the world and you try to get them on. But all that family gatherings and blood-borne sisters and brothers and stuff like that, the Lord is chopping all that up. Because the ones that are righteous, hey, you go be righteous, and I want you to go do this, I want you to go do that. And the ones that's not, you can leave them alone. And if you don't leave them alone, how much drama do we see that happen with family members, with the people who's really trying to seek and serve? I'm not always saying that this is the case, but we do have people that deal with situations like this. Verse 56. This is why he's telling them not to be praying for these people like that no more. Verse 56. For when they had taken liberally, they despised the Most High, thought scorn of his law, and forsook his ways. So these people that you doing all this concern for, the Lord see their hearts. The Lord see what's really going on. And he's telling Ezra, man, they despised my law. No, they thought scorn of his law. You know, and they despise God. You know, they despise me. They hate me. And they ain't got no problem showing you that they hate me. Why are you so stuck around these people? And they despise me. Verse 57. Moreover, they have trodden down his righteousness and said in their heart that there is no God, yea, and that knowing they must die. So they even said, they don't even know, man, there ain't no God. What you come to me with that mess for? Blood family. Why? So this angel that's talking to Ezra is being brutal because they see the thought. I mean, they around. They see the conversations when we're not around. They see and know all that stuff. Verse 59. For as the things aforesaid shall receive you, so thirst and pain are prepared for them. For it was not his will that men should come to naught, but they which be created have defiled the name of him that made them, and were unthankful unto him which prepared life for them. And therefore is my judgment now at hand. These things have I not showed unto all men, but unto thee, and a few like thee. Then answered I and said, well, that's all we need. So the ones that's going to see this picture, the ones who's going to see what God is doing to these people, the ones that's going to see the bigger picture in this Bible, the ones that's going to see this righteousness, these laws and righteous statutes and judgments, and what the Lord is doing, is only the ones that are just like yourself, that is trying to seek and serve the true and living God. This conversation is not for the world. Because they can't see it, they can't even fathom it. So let us now go into the book of Matthew's chapter 10. The book of Matthew's chapter 10, and what we're going to do is read verses 34 through 41. Matthew's chapter 10, verses 34 through 41. Matthew 10, verses 31 through 41. Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. So we need to understand that this lovey-dovey, this brotherly love kind of type of lifestyle, we got to understand that the Lord is dividing all that stuff up. Because I'm telling you right now, I ain't come to bring peace. I come to bring a sword. I come to bring division. I come to bring that sword to divide up. So you thought you was close to your daddy? Not no more. You thought you was close to your mom like that? Not no more. Or a mother-in-law or brother-in-law or friends and, I mean, and family in general? Not no more. And sometimes we think that it's like, man, what's wrong? What did I do? No, God is telling you, I got something for you to do when you waste some time. So when drama come like this, maybe it has to come that way, so we need to understand that we need to get away. We need to go find people who are just like ourselves. That's what we need to be doing. And 36 said, a man's foes, his enemies, shall be they of his own household. Oh. So if you look at how things are taught tools, you think just because you all reading the Bible, all holy and stuff like that, be thinking that everything will go right and smooth. It'll go right and smooth when they're out of your way. When they're out the picture and gone by their business and left you alone, then things go smooth and right. But as long as they're around, it probably won't be that smooth and right. because we understand that sometimes that when we try to do the right thing for God, people be in the way. It is not saying that they are just terrible, wicked people. I'm not saying that. But God might have a picture painted for you, but you can't see the painted picture because of the people who are in your way. And sometimes the Lord brings drama in our life. So we understand that we just this friendship ain't going to work out. We got to go do something else. We got to move out and do something. That's not always a bad thing. Because when the Lord has interest in somebody, he'll do whatever it takes for you to see that they are in your way. Now let's go to the book of Zephaniah chapter 2. The book of Zephaniah chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. The book of Zephaniah chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Verse 1. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord cometh upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger cometh upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be here in the day of the Lord's anger. So it's telling us that we need to gather ourselves together. Is this gathering yourself together with family members? No, it's talking about gathering yourselves together with those who are righteous and the ones who is trying to seek meekness, the ones that's trying to seek righteous judgments, the ones who's trying to seek the righteousness of the Most High God. It's a chance opportunity if we do that thing right. We might be able to be healed from the Lord's anger. You know, it could be talking about that time appointed that should be coming. So the ones that should see this picture, the ones who should be seeing this way of life for the Most High God should be the ones that is trying to seek and serve the true and living God. And the ones that's not trying to serve the true and living God, then most likely they might just be in your way. Now, I'll pull out this other one. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 2. The book of Genesis chapter 2, and what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 24. Genesis 2 and 24. Genesis 2 and 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. When I read that, I didn't read a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, but go back and to his mom and daddy, or have everybody in their business when it comes to certain situations. No. Because this thing right here that I'm looking at, things always go well when it's just between them two people and God. I'm not saying that you can seek counsel from somebody, you know, that's trying to do this thing righteously. I'm not saying nothing's wrong with that. But just keeping a lot of people out of your life when it comes to things and just be united as one. You know, nothing wrong with having an elder, somebody to talk to about situations, but the greater picture that is to work things out ourselves. But I didn't see a multitude of people when it comes to a man and woman cleaving to his wife, and they be one flesh. But let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 145. The book of Psalms, chapter 145. And what we're going to do is pick up at verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. So set yourself around people like this. If you have family members like that, then praise God. But seek and search for those who are on the mission of everlasting life, such as yourself. All right? Amen. So let us go in the book of Acts chapter 2. the book of Acts chapter 2. And what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 39. Acts chapter 2 and 39. For the promises is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This is for the family of God, not the people. Oh, excuse me. I'm reading my own notes. I'm sorry about that. Forgive me. Let me read that again. For the promises is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So these promises that God has given to these promises that God has shown us according to your scriptures is for those who are such as like yourself, not for the world or blood family members who don't want to serve the true and living God. But these are certainly for the ones and their children and the people who are trying to be on the same walk as yourself. Amen. Amen. So now we have one more after this. Let's go to, no, this is the last one. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 1. The book of Psalms chapter 1. And what we're going to do is pick this up in verse 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through verses 6. The book of Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. So let's be the ones that's blessed. Let's be the ones that's in verse 1 where it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And definitely the delight part in verse 2, which says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. So let's try to find people in this type of life and bond and gather and bond ourselves a family. Now, I'm not saying nothing is wrong with blood family. All I'm saying is that don't let them get in the way of you seeking to serve the true and living God. Because we've seen how the Most High God do his division and how he divide things up. And the book even said that a man's enemy should be those in his own household. So we need to understand before it get like that, we need to know that there should be limits. Okay? So through the grace of God, I hope you got some understanding out this precept, which is called blood family. I yield the mic and I turn things over to Brother Miles, and I thank you for your time.
All right. Amen, my brother. Amen. Great precept. Precept. You know, the scriptures are very, very clear concerning this subject. And it's a hard one for a lot of people because, you know, most of the time, we have families that we love our brothers, our sisters, our mother, our father. But then if they are not in tune with the scriptures, if they're not in tune with the word of the Most High, then Messiah clearly tells us, if you love them more than you love me, you are not worthy to be my disciple. And we have done precepts on this in the past 2 or 3 months concerning these very things, that it has to be about the Most High. And if, you know, if he even says, if you love yourself more than you love him, there is nobody, not even yourself, that you can put before him. So you can't take your own personal situations, circumstances, and cause something in your life to be ahead of him. So, it, you know, the scriptures are very clear, and it's a very good word. And people need to understand that, hey, it's your very family who are not in the word that, you know, that will draw you out of the word if you allow them to. Because, that, you know, they do things. They know you when before you came to the Most High. And it's, you know, I think a lot of the lessons are done on this from the standpoint of people know you when you're a child, and they know you growing up. And when you come to the Most High and you make a change, you are filled with the Ruach, then they look at you, they can't see that on you like that. They have to see, you know, your life and how you are leading your life. And then if you're not on the foolishness that they're on, then a lot of the times they want to treat you as though you're the same person. So they don't realize that it's the same body, it's the same house, but a different occupant. You have changed and you have moved on, and you are trying to do, you know, what's right in the eyes of the Most High. Even Messiah, you know, said when he was at his own house with his relatives, he couldn't even cure a headache. Or that's the most he could do because of their unbelief. Because they knew him growing up. Oh, you Joseph's son. You are brother. You know, that type of thing. So a lot of the times when we come into truth and we start living for the Most High, you have to live for him, just like the example you use with, you know, going to bury a loved one. And he says, let the dead bury the dead. When you think about that statement, you are dead in trespasses and sin. And as long as you are willfully practicing sin, the Most High looks at you as being dead. You are spiritually dead. You're dead in the next world. Because if your end state is the lake, you're already dead. You just don't know it. So I like to equate that to those movies they have out about the living dead. All these movies, that is really the way the Most High sees most of this world, as the living dead. We're walking around, we're breathing, we're talking, we're doing things, but as far as our end state goes, if we never come to repentance, if we never do what he tells us to do, the judgment has already been given. It's already been said. You are dead. Your end state is the lake. So excellent precept. And, you know, people really need to take this into account. Your family are really those that are willing, not just willing, but doing the word of Yah. Because a lot of people are willing, but they keep falling short when they don't even need to fall short. We read scriptures even in that regard. If a brother, if you have somebody that says that they are a brother in Christ and they are doing wicked things, it says you are to discount that person as your brother. It says you're to put them out. Because they're saying they're your brother, but they're doing the same things like your blood family. They're still running around sinning, still doing, you know, taking advantage of the saints. And the Most High says, hey, if you have one that's like that, put them away from you. If you have a brother that's a fornicator or an adulterer or covetous or a drunkard or anything like that, and they're openly practicing those things, or they're sneaking and they get caught, he says you're to put them away from you. So this is one of those tough love types of precepts, and it applies to so many areas, you know, within our lives. We are told to judge from within. If we say that we love the Most High and we are worshiping the Most High and we're living that life, then we have a standard that we have to live to. We have a standard that we have to meet. And, you know, everybody can have a weakness. And when I say about a weakness, you know, you did something or you fell short, but it's not something that's common for you. It's not an everyday thing for you. So the scriptures are calling us to a higher standard. And when it comes to our blood family, uh, when it comes to our blood family, then we're supposed to have that standard. They are supposed to be considered as in the world. In the world. And we're not supposed to be in the world with them. Of the world, but not in it. But even for our brothers and sisters who say that they are in this walk, and they may not be blood, the Most High is calling us to a higher standard. That we don't walk in the ways of the world. So if our family is, if our blood family is walking in the ways of the world, Most High says, okay, they're out there. I'll deal with them. But even within the spiritual family, if we are not walking according to the statutes, laws, and the commandments, then he says, let it not be named once among you. So we also need to look at those things. And this is that tough love type of precept and that tough love type of message all of us have to take heed to. All of us have to hold ourselves to a higher standard. And we need to hold each other to a higher standard. So great precept, my brother. If anybody else wants to has anything they want to add to this, comment they want to make, just press the number 1 and I'll open up your phone line and allow you to, you know. All right. 612-298, you're live. Go ahead, Sister Mary.
Shalom. I just wanted to say happy Sabbath to everybody.
Happy Sabbath.
That was a good lesson. That was a very good lesson. And you're right, Brother Miles. That's opening up our eyes again. Appreciate the lesson, Brother Isaiah.
Amen, sister.
Love you
Can
guys.
Hear your voice. Love you too.
Amen. Love you too, my sister. 702-378.
Shalom.
Your phone is live.
Shalom. I just want to say happy Sabbath. And God has been working with me or dealing with me on that issue. I was feeling guilty about cutting some family members off over what they did and believed in. So that's just confirmation. So I just want to say thank you for the lesson.
Amen. All praise.
Amen. All right. If there's no one else, Brother Isaiah, I want to again, I want to commend you on the lesson. It is right in line with what where Yah has been taking us in this walk.
Same spirit, huh?
Amen. Same spirit. We, you know, it is. Amen. We have to be right with Messiah. Period. We have to be right with the Most High. Period. Can't let family, friends. Even wives stop us from serving the Most High and doing what it is that He has called us to do as a people. So I praise Yah for Him putting this on your heart to bring it. You know, confirmation is always good. And since I know that you weren't here for those lessons, then you know the Most High, it's a confirmation.
Amen.
And you know, so, you know, it is crucial to all of us that we stay in this walk, and our focus is not on me. My focus is not on you. My focus has to be on the Most High Elohim.
Amen.
That's the only thing that's going to keep us straight and on the correct path. Stay focused on Him and the walk that He is giving
Amen.
Us. Do. So I thank Yah for the message, and I pray that you know, that He continues to give you and put your heart in this place, and that you walk according as well to these messages, because you know we want to make sure that we are doing the very thing that the Most High is telling us. He's putting on our heart to tell other people. We want to also be doing it. Do you have any closing words, Brother Isaiah?
No, I'm good, bro.
All right, amen.
I'm good. Probably
amen.
Take another nap.
Well, I hear you. I hear you. Amen. On this evening, we're going to be doing substance abuse. Substance abuse. Because I think a lot of times we if we don't see something specifically in the scriptures, we'll say, oh, that's permissible. And anything in that we do too much of it can become sin. Anything that we do. I don't care if it's overeating. You know, the scripture says that is sin. So we have to take a lot of things and put them into their proper context. So we're going to be doing substance abuse this evening. And I pray that everybody comes out. I adjusted the new moon calendar. And I pray that, you know, everybody attends the new moon service, because the Most High just so blessed us on the first one we did. And as we continue to observe these, I pray that you all come out, because the Most High is, you know, the Most High's way of, in the scripture, when we look at this, this is when he met the prophets. And he met us in a mighty way on the first one that we had. So it is going to be, it's the 13th, but the 13th starts, we know, the night of the 12th at the setting of the sun. So I had to go in and make sure, I had to adjust it by a date. This one is falling on the Shabbat, so it shouldn't be that big a change for anyone. It's not like, you know, we're going to say, oh, it's going to be in the it was we were scheduling for a Thursday, now it's on a Wednesday. But this is the Sabbath, and if we are able to attend Sabbath services, then we should still be able to attend this one. And this one is a high holy one, as I said. It's the first one of the new year. And according to the scriptures, we just want to be obedient, and we want Yah to meet us. And like I said, I was just so blessed that Yah showed up, and it was a renewing within us. So I pray that we all come out and that we attend. It's going to be a blessed time. That will be on the 12th of March. Then we have the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened, the heave offering, all these services this month, or not this month, but the month of March. And we want to be in attendance. We want to be obedient to the Most High. These are his feast days. They're not ours. They're his. These are my feast days, my Sabbaths. So they belong to the Most High. He gave them to us to keep. And if we have our focus on him, then we understand that, hey, we don't really, if we want to honor him, then we keep his feast days and his Sabbaths as he has commanded. And he even commanded that we keep the new moons. And I don't know how I ever missed that, but, you know, I thank Yah that he showed me. That he showed me concerning this thing. And it has been a blessing. So I can't, you know, I look forward to these. Just like I look forward to the weekly Sabbaths. Every week I look forward to this day. Because it's specific to showing honor to him. So we want to thank everybody for coming out today. We pray that you join us this evening for substance abuse. And, you know, I pray Yah gives me the ability to put this forward like he has shown it to me, and that it help us in our walk. That it helps us to improve and to put down those things that that we have been doing. With that being said, may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Shalom, family.
Yeah.
What can I do? if I don't have you, it's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, who are you? But I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo. I don't.